Verse 17.
What?
My opinion too.
My
opinion. Yeah. I'm going to try to do something unique today. See if I can do it here. Help me, Lord. I think what has happened in the United States of America is we forgot to fear the Lord. Nobody wants to talk about the fear of the Lord because God is a God of love and all that kind of stuff. But the God that we have, the God that I have, the God that you should have, He's a mighty God. He's a jealous God. In fact, it says His name is Jealous. In the Bible, it says He's a consuming fire. And if each and every one of us would get in our hearts that what we do in our lives, we're going to be held accountable for to God. Right. Not to our mom, not to our dad, not to the preacher, not to our brother or sister, not to the government, but to God. So we need to get the idea in our hearts that we need to fear Him. Because there's a judgment coming. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. So we're all going to stand before Him. And He's going to ask us questions about what you said, what you did, what you thought. Whether you were by yourself or with someone else. Whether you were murmuring and complaining. Whether you were aggravated about someone not doing it the way that you thought it should be done. Because you had a rough childhood. Anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask you this morning, Lord, that you help me and then help each and every one of us in this room. Not only to be attentive to your word, Lord, not only to be good hearers of your word, but help us, Father, to have an understanding that can only come from you. And then help us, Lord, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And Father, I thank you and I praise you and I pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. The fear of the Lord. We'll go to the book of Psalms, chapter 34. The fear of the Lord, Psalms 34. Like the preacher told me one time in Tallahassee, we're going to treat you so many ways, you're going to bound to like one of them. Well, I'm going to give you so many verses that one of them is going to be the one that you want to hear today. There's probably going to be some that you don't want to hear, but every word of God is pure, right? Be nice if we could get that, wouldn't it? All right, let's go to chapter 34 in the book of Psalms, chapter 34. And we'll look down there, if you would please, go all the way down there to verse number, let's try verse 11, see if that'll work. Psalm 34, verse number 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. How many of you fear the Lord? We all raise our hand, right? Until we want to do something we want to do.
Okay.
Well, if you're doing something wrong, you don't fear the Lord. If you're doing something that you know is not right, you don't fear the Lord. You don't worry about the consequences of your actions. There's someone, I'm trying to remember exactly how it goes, but someone in Ecclesiastes says the problem with mankind is judgment is not executed speedily. It used to be when you did something wrong, there was an immediate consequence. There's none of this stuff, you wait till your father gets home. What? But you can't discipline? I'm sorry. I mean to pick on anybody. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, since everybody's got Proverbs memorized. Proverbs chapter 8. It's conveniently located right after chapter 7.
Yes.
Praise God for that. Proverbs chapter 8. That's Old Testament, right? Proverbs chapter 8. Let's look at verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Well, how are you when it comes to evil? How are you when it comes to pride and arrogancy? Do you hate it? If you hated it, you wouldn't do it, right? How many of you do stuff you hate? You like it? How many of you do stuff you like? You like it? What would you rather do? Well, think about it now. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do what the Lord wants us to do, aren't we? Look at chapter 111 in the book of Psalms. Chapter 111 in the book of Psalms. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is, right? Look, it says verse number 10. Psalm 111, verse number 10. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. How many of you know the Ten Commandments, or a reasonable facsimile thereof? I'm not saying by heart, but you know most of them, right? What would you say would be the most important one? Probably the first one, right? You're supposed to have no other gods before God, right? And Jesus put it this way. You're supposed to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your might, right? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. There's a lot of people that are wise in this world, but they don't have any understanding. I mean, we have people in America today that have graduated from college and don't know anything.
Right.
And we have some little old lady, some little old man in the hills of North Carolina, all they did was read their Bible, and they are wise beyond their years. Why? Because they fear the Lord. You can't even start to get wise until you start fearing the Lord. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, right? I mean, it either says that or it doesn't, right? Go to Job 28. Don't worry about it, just a lung. Job 28. Verse number 28. Job 28, verse 28. I hope you're writing these down. There'll be a test later, so. You just get a copy of the tape, right? Job 28, verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. See, I can know a whole lot about the Bible, but if I'm not willing to apply it to my life, what good does it do me? I have a lot of Bible knowledge. I have a lot of zeal, but I don't have any understanding. How can I apply thou shalt not to my life if I don't fear the Lord? Right? How can you apply it? Does God tell you not to do things? Does he? Are you doing them? Does God tell you to do things? Are you doing them? I mean, think about it for a moment. If you apply for a job and you worked at your job as you do at Christianity, how long would you last? Or would they be looking for someone else to take your place? Right? I mean, think about it. We're Christians on Sunday, aren't we?
Sure.
Praise God. How about yesterday? And the day before that? Well, praise God, we get to be Christians Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week.
Praise God.
Hallelujah, right? Whether we want to or not. Why? Because I have to go to church. You know what happened to me when I got saved? I wanted to go to church. Praise God. Why? Because I already been out there. And there's just trouble. I mean, I'm just an old man, and I probably don't know what I'm talking about, but take it from someone who's been there, done that. I'll tell you right now, in case you didn't know, you cannot satisfy the flesh. It's only going to want more. And it doesn't matter what you say. There's people right now in the grave because why? They just wanted one more. Just one. That's all I want, just one. I'll quit. Just a little bit more. It'll be enough for me. Doesn't work. We can't depart from evil. Why? Because we love it too much. Proverbs 9. We probably won't be able to go through all these, but we're going to give it a try. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Well, there it is right there. Knowledge of the holy. What's holy? Well, this Bible's holy. Our Christian walk should be holy. Our Christian life should be holy. Our testimony among others, even if they're saved or unsaved, should be holy. Should be without rebuke. I don't know. How's your testimony in your neighborhood? Who knows you're a Christian? Is it the neighbors? Because you're always trying to give them a track, always inviting them to church? Do they say things like, oh, here he comes. He's going to give you a track. He's going to talk about Jesus. Well, you know, there are people right now in the state of Alabama that don't know how to go to heaven. I mean, right now, today. And they've got religion on TV all over the place. In fact, I just saw in Walmart the other day, they have a new story about the Bible. And just what little excerpts I saw on the TV, it's not true. But it's a Bible that we can take as a nation because it's completely watered down. God is not mean. God wouldn't throw anybody into hell. Well, I wouldn't take a chance if it was me. Chapter 15 in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, look at verse 33 if you would please. Chapter 15, verse 33. We're looking at the fear of the Lord, and we keep understanding that's the beginning of wisdom, it's the instruction of wisdom, it's the only way to get wisdom. People go to school to get smart, they ought to come to church to get wise. Proverbs 15, verse number 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You want the Lord to honor you, you better humble yourselves and ask to get saved. Let's go back to, if you would please, chapter 14, verse 27. Chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord, that's what we're looking at. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, we've seen all kinds of things about the fear of the Lord. Chapter 14, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Well, I'm glad that there was a time in my life when I feared the Lord. I thought, I don't want to go to hell. And I'm telling you right now, I believe there was a hell. Why? I don't know. I just did. I never saw it. Don't ever want to. Right? Praise the Lord. But I heard enough about it. How about you, Christian? Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Well, someone told you you were saved. Well, I wouldn't count on that unless it was the Lord. Nothing against your mom or your dad, but you remember a time when you yourself personally got down on your knees or bowed your head and said, God, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. I believe Jesus Christ died for sinners, and I want him to save me right now. That's what you would have had to done, something along those lines. Hey, stop this stuff about asking Jesus into your heart. Why did he come in there? Listen, you can't get saved unless you're a sinner. Sorry. Jesus didn't come down to save people that weren't sinners. There's not one place that Jesus said, let me come into your heart. What? No, he wants to be Lord of your life. Your heart and everything else, right? I just wonder how many people are going to end up in hell because someone told them they were saved. What a shame that would be, wouldn't it? What a shame that would be. And I'm not trying to get you re-saved. I'm just trying to get you saved, because if you personally can't remember a day when you yourself asked Jesus Christ to save you because you were a sinner and you knew you were going to hell, you need to do it today. I mean, you need to get it squared away so you can absolutely tell with no doubt in your mind, I got saved. I asked Jesus to save me. Because if I could do it for you, I would. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want everybody to have a joy of the Lord. Right? That's what salvation is. I mean, it's a struggle sometimes. I'll agree with that. But I'm telling you what, if you get saved, the worst day of salvation will be the best day of not getting saved. I mean the worst day. When you think everything's falling on top of you, it's still better than going to hell. I preached a message on this one time. Hey, why pray when you can worry?
Yeah.
Well, why pray when you can worry? We don't have anybody who worries in here, do we?
No.
Praise God. All right, let's go to chapter 33, verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of the times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Well, praise God to that. So we know what the fear of the Lord is, right? Well, we can always hope, we know. Let's go to... let's try Psalm 147. Why should you start fearing the Lord? Well, we just found out in Isaiah that it'll be a treasure if you do it. Psalm 147, verse 11. Psalm 147, verse 11. But I can tell you one thing. If you fear the Lord, there'll be pleasures. You'll please the Lord if you do that. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. Wouldn't you like the Lord to be pleased with you?
Sure.
He said that once about his own son, didn't he?
Yep.
He would say it about you if you start fearing the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 13. I know this is probably the most you ever spent in the Bible, but it's good for you. Psalm 103, verse 13. I just wonder, and I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but I wonder, just wonder, if when we get to heaven, the Lord's going to actually ask us if we read the Bible. Well, he holds his word even above his name, right? And it's pure. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says none of his words will return void. Does he have a special word for you? Is there a verse that's special for you? Well, what are you doing with it? Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I'd like the Lord to have pity on me sometimes. I need it. Why? Because I just don't do right. I'd rather have the Lord correct me with pity than correct me with anger.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but this is how it's going to be. Right?
Sure.
How many of you ever heard this one? This is going to hurt you more than it does me. You didn't believe that, did you? Well, do you think that your mom and dad want to correct you? I can tell you from experience, parents want their children to do right. Why? Because it's a lot easier. Right? You don't have to chase them through the house. It used to be, and I don't remember this happening to me, but I can hear stories about people that had to go cut a switch. Because the dad said, all right, go cut a switch. You go cut a switch and whap, 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 whap. Now we can't even argue with them. Look at Psalm 103, verse 11. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I need some mercy from the Lord, don't you? What do you think? Well, look at verse 17. See if it doesn't say the same thing. Verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. The fear of the Lord. Why should we do it? Well, we'll please the Lord. We'll have pity from the Lord. We'll be merciful from God. What's it say in Psalm 112, verse 1? Psalm 112, verse 1. How many of you want the Lord to bless you? We'd all raise our hand, wouldn't we? Well, according to Psalm 112, verse 1, it said, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. I'd like to get to the point where I could be like David is, and I would delight greatly to do what God wants me to do. I wouldn't even consider anything else. I want to do what God wants me to do. Why? Because I want to please him. I want to show God that I love him. How can I do that? By being obedient. By being acceptable to what he wants for my life. I can tell you from experience, and I've only been a Christian since 89, but sometimes God tells me to do things I don't want to do. And every time I went ahead and did it, it was always a blessing. And I can look back now and go, I was just a dummy. Thought I knew more than God. Well, I hope you don't. Well, I do. I hope you don't know more than God. What's it say in Psalm 115, verse 13? Psalm 115, verse 13, the Bible says, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. That pretty much covers everybody, doesn't it? I mean, it's just over and over and over, scripture after scripture after scripture, why we should fear the Lord. Why should we fear the Lord? Look at verse number 11, Psalm 115. The Bible says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I need protection. I need protection from this world. I need protection from the devil himself. And most of all, I need protection from Ken Dean. Because I get myself into trouble all the time. Why? Because I know how to talk myself into it. Well, how many of you know how to talk yourself into trouble? You won't let anybody else do it. But you'll do it. Why? Because we can justify it. Well, it was just a little sin. Is there any little sins to God? Here's what people can't understand. I've had this conversation with people. You mean I can murder someone and ask Jesus to save me and he'll save me? Well, yeah. Well, that didn't make any sense. I didn't say it made sense. Salvation don't make any sense. Well, did he forgive you?
Yes.
Did that make sense? Because you know what you've done, right? And he was willing to forgive you completely? I mean completely? And never bring it up again? It don't make any sense to me.
No, sir.
You know what I deserve? I deserve hell. I mean, just for what I did last week, I deserve hell. Not considering the 63 years before that. But the love of the Lord, right? For God so loved the world. I still don't understand that. What do we have? Well, look at chapter 14 in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 14 in the book of Proverbs. What time do we usually finish here? That's 11?
Quarter
till. Oh, okay. Well, maybe quarter to 12. I don't know. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse number 26. Bless you. Chapter 14, verse 26 of the book of Proverbs says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Think about this for a second. If you please the Lord and you do what the Lord wants you to do, you can, and I know you can do this at any time, but it's especially important to remember, by fearing the Lord, we have a place where we can go and nothing can harm us. Nothing. I mean, it just doesn't matter. People sometimes get confused about the devil and about the world. Listen, sometimes God allows things to happen in your life because you are not doing right. And we have verse after verse after verse that tells us how to live the Christian life, right? How to love God, how to fear God, how to trust in God, how to serve God, and we just kind of go on our merry way, doing the way we think it should be done. And if it doesn't line up with this book, it's just not right. And the problem is that there are too many Christians that don't know what the book says. This church right here should be overflowing with people because they want to hear about the Word of God. Because there's too many churches that aren't preaching the Word of God. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just the way, that's the way it is nowadays. We're in the latter times, aren't we? The love of many is wax cold. What's the love? The love of God, the love of the truth, the love of doing right. It used to be in the United States of America that if you gave your word to someone, you didn't have to sign any papers. There was no lawyers involved. You said you were going to do it, you did it. Why? Because you gave your word. And it was important for people to think that you weren't a liar. Now it doesn't matter. How many of you know that there's government officials that have lied to your face? And we still elect them. You know what? This is the mindset. Well, everybody does it. What does that have to do with anything? Right? Well, there's no honest politicians. Well, then kick them all out. It'll never happen, but praise God. It's Proverbs 16, verse 6. Well, it's going to happen one of these days. The Lord's going to come back, and they're all going to be looking for a job. Underline this one, sports fans. I mean, Christians. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I've actually had that happen in my life. I was going to do something that was, I guess you could call it evil. I guess anything against God is evil. And all of a sudden I remembered, I'm a Christian, and I shouldn't do it. And I purposely didn't do it. What did I do? I departed from iniquity. I stopped the sin before it took hold. Proverbs 10, look at verse 27. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. The Bible says, Proverbs 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, I don't know whether this has anything to do with it or not, but I've noticed lately that people are seem to be dying younger. And I don't mean to be judgmental, but many of these people that are dying younger seem to have been wicked all their life. Now, I know that sometimes Christians die younger, but I think that's because the Lord wants them to come home. Doesn't want them to have to go through any more of this. And sometimes, and I don't understand this, he'll let Christians that I know are saved, and I've watched them over the years, they struggle and they hurt, and they get Alzheimer's and they can't walk and they lay in bed, and the Lord don't take them home. And I often wondered about that. And someone told me one time that, well, it just might be the Lord wants them to be a testimony while they're here, still down here. Someone else have to go through what they're going through, and they'll be an encouragement to them. Christian, you're going to go through some stuff. I can tell you right now. According to the scriptures, the Bible says, after ye have suffered a while. That's what it says. Then will I make you perfect. That's what the Lord says. So what are we going to have to do? Well, we're going to have to suffer a while. And what are you going to suffer? The Bible puts it this way. Would you rather suffer for doing wrong or suffer for doing right?
Amen.
You can do both, you know. If you had a choice, wouldn't you rather suffer for doing right? Well, you get rewards in heaven for suffering for doing right. You know what you get in heaven for doing wrong? You suffer in heaven too. So you're going to have to suffer twice. We don't think about that, though, do we? You see what life is? Life is just, what do we call it? Life is instant nowadays. There's no long-term effects on anybody. We don't consider the future. We're too worried about the past. Well, if my mom hadn't, what? Well, if my dad, well, if my sister, well, if the bullies at school, well, if. You ought to try fearing the Lord. Proverbs 19, verse 23. Proverbs 19, verse 23. Proverbs 19, verse 23. Here's what it says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall be abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Maybe we ought to underline that one. You want a better life, do you? Maybe you ought to start fearing the Lord. What is fear of the Lord? Well, it's to depart from evil, isn't it? It's the beginning of wisdom. We need to get a hold of the Bible and try to understand it. How can we do that? God, help me to understand what I'm reading. Here's what David said. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Are you reading the Bible? I hope so. Look at chapter 86 in the book of Psalms. Chapter 86 in the book of Psalms. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. It's a treasure. You know what? It's commanded that we fear him. Chapter 86 in the book of Psalms, chapter 86, look at verse number 11. Chapter 86, verse number 11. The Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I want to not only fear you in my mind, Lord, but I want to fear you in my heart. Because out of the heart, right? The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What are we supposed to do, Christians? Well, we're supposed to be Christians, aren't we? Colossians chapter 3, You didn't think we'd make it to the New Testament, did you? Colossians 3. Look at verse number, let's try verse 22. See if that'll work. Colossians 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Any servants in the room? Well, we're all supposed to be servants of the Lord, right? How many of you have a job where you have to have a boss over you? Well, how you doing on your job? You doing more than's required? I don't know. Are you the best employer that the boss has ever had? Can't wait to get more like you? We should be, shouldn't we? Who are we working for? Well, according to what it says in verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I want to be the best I can be. How can I do that? Well, first of all, I start fearing the Lord. And then I'll have a singleness in my heart. What will be the singleness? The singleness will be this. Doesn't matter what I do, I want it to please God. I want to be a Christian that God's pleased with. I want to be the Christian that hears one day in the future, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if I don't have a proper fear of the Lord, you know what? I'm not going to be a servant of God. I'm going to put myself ahead of God. Well, it's like I started off this morning with my opinion. How many people have an opinion? Is it the same as God's? Wouldn't it be great if we could do, I mean, I know we might not want to do this, but wouldn't it be great if we could at one time in our Christian life just get on our knees and say, God, what do you think about me?
Amen. Amen.
And then just quietly listen. I mean, we might be shocked, huh? Well, we might even be pleasantly surprised. You might be a better Christian than you think you are. You know what happens sometimes in Christianity? You beat yourself up. You know what God expects from you? The best you can do. He don't want you to be perfect unless you want to be perfect. But He wants you to try. You can't be like, well, point your finger over there. You can be like you, though.
How about that?
No. God don't expect you to be anybody but you.
How about that?
He knows all about you.
Right.
He was there when you were born, and He was there all the time you got raised up. He's even with you now. Sometimes we got to quit comparing ourselves to everybody else and compare ourselves to the man in the mirror. What's He doing? Point your finger at Him and say, I'm watching you. I know all about you. 1 Peter chapter 3. Contrary to popular belief, we're going to have to go to the conclusion pretty soon.
Are you going to do it at the end?
Pretty close to it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You got to be real careful when you start to be a witness for God. You've got to be careful that you don't put a wedge between salvation and you. How many of you are saved? How many of you know how you got saved? Could you tell someone? What if they didn't want to get saved? Would you tell them okay? What if they didn't believe you? What if they told you what you tell them wasn't the truth? Could you still be nice to them? What if they said bad things about your family? Bad things about you? Bad things about your God? Could you still be nice to them? Maybe the Lord wants you to be a witness just because someone has to dig up that hard ground, has to try to soften their hard heart, their stiff neck. And all he wants you to do is just go in there and just gently dig up some soil so someone else can come along later and plant. Someone else can come along later and dig up some weeds, put a little water on there, and eventually someone can come and pick the fruit off the tree. How many of you got saved the first time you heard you could get saved? Well, someone did some digging, didn't they? Someone did some watering, some weeding. Someone did some picking. Maybe you're supposed to be a digger. Doesn't God give the increase?
Yes, sir.
God gets the increase, doesn't he? Well, we got to be careful, don't we? According to what it said right there, we got to be careful. Meekness and fear. I want people to get saved. But you know what I've done in the past? I've been such a jerk about it that you know what? I had to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, please, please, let someone else come along and tell them about Jesus that has some brains that won't lambast them because they don't know anything about the Bible. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll look at two verses and we'll stop. No clapping, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know it's in here somewhere. It's in the index under D. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think we're going to go down to verse 4. See if I'm right here. No, we're going to go to verse 2. The Bible says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. We're supposed to fear the Lord. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. If you know where Proverbs are, you're getting real close. Right after Proverbs is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And since this is the very last verse, we can go by what it says right here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So all this preaching, teaching this morning is about what? The fear of the Lord, right? Well, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. What does it say? So what's your duty, Christian? Fear God, keep his commandments, right? Okay. So people ask you, what do you do as a Christian? You say, well, I fear God and keep his commandments. Do you? Because if you don't say it. You know what people on the outside, the people that are not saved, you know what they do? They watch us. They watch us constantly. Why? Because they want to see if we're hypocrites. You say you're saved. You don't act like you're saved. You don't talk like you're saved. Hey, you don't even dress like you're saved. Sorry. How are you supposed to dress? Modestly. And then you put in whatever kind of configuration you want on that. But according to the Bible, you're supposed to dress modestly. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to fear God and keep His commandments. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You. Thank You for showing us the Bible verses, Lord. And I know we didn't see them all, but we saw enough to keep us busy. Lord, help us. Help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Help us, Lord, to apply what we've heard today to our lives so we can become the Christians that fear God and keep His commandments. And Father, I thank You and I praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Before we conclude, just open your Bibles real quick to Philippians chapter 2. On this thing on fear of God, there's, how many of you ever heard this where some theologian or preacher, somebody got up and said, fearing God is simply a reverential trust. You ever heard that one? Anybody have that one? I've heard that one. Amen. You know what that is? That's some preacher that's trying to get you to think that all you have to do is reverence God, and that's all God means when He says to fear Him. Now, it's good to reverence God, but it's more than just a reverence. There should be a fear, there should be an awe when we consider our God. Now, look in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. God says, wherefore, my beloved,